So this is a congregation that emphasizes the importance of community, right? And I believe that this is a wonderful, faith-filled, life-sustaining thing. It is why I am here with you. And I love, though, how Parker Palmer picks this idea apart just a little bit, how he tells us that we receive community rather than building it. Because when we think about how we might build it, we often think about what we have to offer, right? What we have to do to make community happen, how maybe we want to think about what people of various backgrounds and various needs might need to be part of our community. This is certainly how I have been thinking about it. And so Parker Palmer offers this other perspective that I want to wonder with you about just a little bit, what it might mean and what it might look like to relax into our created condition and receive the gift we have been given. So what is that created condition? Well, he writes that we are already embedded in community. I think this resonates with our UU idea of the interconnected web of all existence, which lifts up the sacred aspect of our physical and ecological relationships. And it's certainly based on the very nature of our existence, that we are all made of the same stuff that was created at the very beginning of time and in the massive implosions of early stars. And there's something deep and holy in that idea as well, for me at least, when I open myself to the awe and the wonder that comes from knowing this. Our physical connections are present at the most basic level. And then ecologically, I think about the water cycle and the carbon cycle and pollination and decomposition and how the trees are the lungs of our planet. And I feel that same kind of awe and wonder at how this works and that I am, that we all are part of that. And of course, human community, right? Human community has been around since we lived in caves and hunted with sticks and rocks. We've depended on each other for our physical survival, our emotional health, and our spiritual grounding and inspiration as long as we have been human. And probably even before that, it is in our DNA. And so do we work against our goal when we try explicitly to build community, as Parker Palmer seems to maybe imply a little bit? I'm not convinced. I think it's possible to intentionally widen the range of our welcome, right, as we talked with our children and with you a little bit earlier as part of the work of building community. I think it's possible, although maybe not probable and maybe not always, to move from within our best selves to nurture and build relationship and thereby community. At the same time, I think it's easy to fall into the habit of letting our desires or our egos guide that work. And so I think it's easy to forget about the reason we're wanting to build community in the face of thinking about how we might do that work. Just the other day, I was in a meeting in which someone who shares this faith tradition with me offered a thoughtful but unsolicited response to something I had said. They were coming from a place of curiosity and wanting to contribute to a conversation that I was part of. But because I thought I was pretty sure of what they were going to say, and I was viewing what I thought they were going to say as not directly related to the point I was trying to make, I responded to them in a way that stuck just strictly to that point, and I made them feel dismissed. In that instant, community building was not what was happening. Joyfully, they were able to reach out to me and tell me how my response impacted them, and I was able to regain enough humility when they did that to apologize. It's hard to listen well when we're sure we know what people are going to say. Almost as hard as it is to listen when people are saying things we don't want to hear. So maybe it's more about remembering the gift we've been given. Letting ourselves experience the joy and the wonder at the interconnections and the relationships that we scared and broken beings are already part of. And maybe humility. As I had the opportunity to experience it the other day, maybe humility is part of that. To be embedded in community, I think, requires us to shrink in some ways. Because to be embedded in community means that we're part of a bigger whole, that we serve something larger than our individual selves. And just that notion of our individual selves comes into question for me, as it seems to for Parker Palmer. Have you seen the bumper stickers that have all these different religious symbols that form the word coexist? Yeah? There's a whole bunch of religious symbols, probably many of the ones we have on our stained glass out there. I think that they imply this interdependence, right, that is highlighted in both our principles and mentioned in this piece that Craig was good enough to read for us. The idea that we need each other to survive and that we need each other's goodwill to thrive. So when I lived in Northwest Indiana, I had a neighbor who drove a truck with various stickers all over it that showed his interest in hunting and in fishing. As well as a sticker styled like these coexist stickers, except that it said exist instead of coexist. And the X was made of rifles crossed, and the I was dotted with a crosshair. My sense of this guy, and yes, his gender was an assumption on my part, as was the color of his skin and his economic status. My sense in the defensiveness that this brought up for me was that he believed his ability to own weapons and presumably kill some of his own food made him independent. I twitched a little bit every time I saw this truck that seemed to me to proclaim that we are separate from the rest of humanity and that which surrounds us and supports us. And there's an arrogance on my part in that response, no? Did you see what I did there? I painted a stereotypical picture of my neighbor based on my response to his bumper stickers. And I conflated my own ideas of the nature of existence over and against those of this human sibling of mine. When we become big, when we have a hard time seeing things through frames other than our own, we also become closed. So acknowledging my smallness and my own frame can be a wonderful way to practice humility. And there are many ways to feel that smallness, some of them life-sustaining, some of them maybe less so. What better way, I find, to remember how small we are than to look up into the night sky? The hugeness of the universe never fails to remind me that I am just a speck. A tiny speck that happens to be the current end product of 14 billion years of creative energy. From the first creation of something from nothing and the evolution of conditions and then of life that has resulted in me and my human siblings, expressions all of us of the universe with the ability to look upon that universe with appreciation and search for meaning, and yet still a tiny speck. So humbling. And at the same time, the specks that we are, these tiny specks that we impact the lives of our neighbors and strangers with our words and our actions, and collectively we impact entire communities and ecosystems and our entire planet's interconnectedness. And sometimes we feel small in another way, like the world is shifting and moving in ways that rub up against our values, and there is little we can do about it. My friend and colleague, the Reverend Kent Hemen Seleska, serves the UU Church of Minnetonka in Wayzata, Minnesota. And he took a recent camping trip out west and mused these words under the stars. He wrote, "There are times I feel insignificant, ineffective and helpless in the face of world issues, and it consumes me. And then there are times, as when camping at the Grand Canyon on a cloudless night, standing with my back to the campfire and staring into the night sky with 1,000 billion stars filling the dome of the heavens with brilliance that speaks to me and reminds me, you are one of us. You are not separate or aloof. You are carbon-based stardust, a creature that exists only because a massive plethora of stars exploded and died so that you and your fellow humans might live. And also your fellow cedars and pinyon pine and scorpions and mosquitoes and elk and termites and puppy dogs and wasps and caterpillars. You do not live in the universe. You are an expression of the universe. He continues, and then I feel more whole, more grounded, more infused with ability, and I wonder with this creative capacity, what will I do next? And I wonder, as humans on the edge of fear, tribalism, and destruction, what creative and empowered ability will we bring to bear? If we understand that we are not alone, but connected as an interdependent expression of this universe that created us, what will we do next? For me, it speaks to the way our smallness can remind us that we're part of a bigger story. And I think that story is one of healing and of wholeness. I think that if we can remember our smallness as a gift that leads us into relationship with others, just as our community is a gift, it can remind us of what we bring into being. I responded to Kent's question about what we'll do next with my own musing. Facebook is a great thing. I wrote, we will bring compassion and peace and equity. I'm looking at the same stars through a haze of light and pollution made by us humans, because I am not at the Grand Canyon, and because we forget the connections that you are feeling, and because that humanity is so present here in my environment, I find myself thinking that it's on the edges we've created that we can discover our true capacity. And yet we have to discover our capacity for real and gritty and honest love that wins out over the fear and individualism. And for me, I feel this edge pushing toward my own power to embody love, and that is what it's going to take, each of us finding that power in whatever way we can and using it to move forward into love. So what's the bigger story? There are several. That this work of finding the power of our capacity has to take place in the community within which we have been gifted. More so, that it can't happen unless we remember that this community already exists and we're already part of it. That as tiny as we are, our potential for impact on that community is huge, and by that I mean our human community and our ecological community. That the awe and wonder that can bring us to our knees in appreciation of all the systems we're part of can be forgotten as we follow our culture's urging toward individualism and polarization and othering. That if we're to remember the gift that is community, we might be able to better offer it to others, including those new folks that walk in the door. Before I read this Parker Palmer piece that Craig brought to my attention just last week, thank you. I believed in cultivating humility as a practice for inviting others into community and space and culture. And this, you know, this little episode that I talked about was an example of that. But I'm thinking about it in more depth now, that maybe cultivating humility is a practice of remembering the gifts of community that already is here, that is already embedded, and how I might move in that gift and appreciate that gift. May it be so. May we be so.